If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to follow him all the way. Today is the day that we use to celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And we call it Palm Sunday for the deep theological reason that they cut off palm branches and laid it on the ground. So, anyway, this is the day. Approximately 3.5 years have passed since Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. And we first hear the words, "Follow me," spoken by Jesus in the text. He recruited his disciples. He traveled all over the Galilee area, made a few appearances in Jerusalem, and successfully debated with the Jewish elite every time they confronted him. Well, now it is time for Jesus to make his public appearance as the Messiah. If the people were going to follow Jesus, they would need to follow him all the way. Jesus was careful throughout his public ministry because he knew that the time was not right to reveal his true identity as the Messiah, so he spoke through parables so that people would have to do some work in order to figure out what he was talking about. Well, now it's time to reveal his true identity as the Passover week is upon us, where he's going to be the sacrificial lamb for the whole world. He taught his disciples and the people who showed up to listen, but nobody expected Jesus to die on the cross like a criminal. They did not understand why Jesus was there. They expected Jesus to physically overthrow the Roman Empire as he entered Jerusalem. Well, unfortunately, the lessons Jesus taught did not sink in. The disciples didn't truly understand what was going on. That's why they were somewhat confused whenever they were sent into the village to pick up a donkey for him to ride on. However, if the disciples were going to follow Jesus, they would need to follow him all the way. So they went ahead and did what he asked, and they went and got the donkey so that Jesus could make his entrance into Jerusalem. And this is the event that we're about to read in Mark 11, 1 through 11. So let's go ahead and turn there. Mark chapter 11, 1 through 11 is our text today. Well, today's text should be familiar with all of us who grew up in the church. We're going to hear about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem and the preparations that took place to get there. However, I want us to peel back the surface so that we can get a better look at the people who were following him. See, as Jesus enters Jerusalem, we see different types of followers, and those followers will be the focus for this sermon. As we go through this sermon, we need to find out what kind of followers we are as we see the examples of followers in the text. We need to understand that some of these people were fair weather fans. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to follow him all the way. Let's go ahead and read Mark 11, 1 through 11. It says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say that the Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' And they told them that what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and threw the cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches, and they cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example of people following you. As the triumphal entry unfolds, we can see different types of people with different levels of commitment. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to look through that and try to figure out where we stand with our relationship with you. I pray that you'll be with us through this sermon. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, after reading about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, I get the impression that Jesus was a very popular leader which could mean that he was accepted as their Messiah. However, looks can be deceiving. The people were following him to Jerusalem, but were they true followers of Jesus? Or were they fair-weather fans, ones who would run at the first sign of trouble? Well, we need to take a look here at the first six verses. We see the first type of people, and that was the silent minority, the supporters of Jesus. See, Jesus had support in Bethany. Before entering Jerusalem, Jesus had made plans to set up everything that they would need. Since the disciples had no idea about this, this must have meant that there was a separate group of followers who Jesus relied on from time to time. This support group shows up occasionally in the Gospels, but you have to be looking for them in order to see them. People like Mary Magdalene, or Martha and Mary, or Lazarus, or some of the others. We can see them in the Gospels. Although they're not disciples of Jesus, they are supporters of Jesus. Well, as we can see in verse 1, Bethany is near Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives. This was a strategic location because the people in Jerusalem could see Jesus coming down the mountainside when he rides a donkey into the city. Well, Bethany was also the home of Lazarus and his two friends, two sisters, Mary and Martha. And that's where Jesus decided to stay. See, every time he went to Jerusalem, he chose to stay in Bethany, so it's natural to see that he had built some good relationships there. And as a result, he already had some supporters who could help him during the final week of his life. Now, I choose the word supporter here instead of follower, because there really is a difference between a supporter and a follower. See, a follower is a person who will hang around because there is some kind of benefit for them being there. We already see that with the crowds that followed Jesus everywhere he went. They were followers, not really supporters. They received food. They received religious instruction. They received compassion, as many of them were healed by Jesus. They hung around Jesus because of what Jesus did for them, not necessarily because of who Jesus was. Well, a supporter has a deeper level of commitment than a follower does. A supporter is somebody who actually contributes to the ministry rather than someone who is just a taker. Of course, supporters have to be followers first in order to know who it is that they need to help out when it comes to the ministry. But as time progresses, the followers must grow into being supporters in order to benefit Jesus rather than just showing up for the benefits they receive. You know, this works in the church too. You see, we are all followers of Jesus. That's why we show up here at church. However, there is a point where we need to become more than just followers. We need to be supporters in the church as well. Another word for that would be contributors. We need to contribute to the church, not just take from the church. See, we can't just show up because the church benefits us. We need to be able to benefit the church in some way, because that's the way God has set this up. I guess I could sum it up with this statement that was created using a very popular presidential quote. You probably will recognize the quote. You've heard this before. I'll say it again here. It says, "Ask not what your church could do for you. Ask what you could do for your church." Well, the disciples obeyed Jesus. They went ahead and got the donkey, found out exactly where it was, a donkey that was tied to a door that has never been ridden. That was something that was going to be obvious, so they knew exactly where to go. Well, even though they had no idea about the plans that Jesus made, they followed through with the instructions because they trusted Jesus. And that's something else we need to keep in mind. You see, the amount of trust the people had in Jesus directly affected their level of commitment to him as their leader. The same is true for us today. You see, we do not follow people if we do not trust them. This is why one of the first steps of becoming a great leader is to gain the trust of the people around you. If people don't trust you, they won't follow you. So your first responsibility as a leader is to become trustworthy. Well, I know that is a leadership principle, but this can also work when you're trying to reach the lost. See, when you're trying to lead somebody to Christ, the first step is to build up trust so that the person you're talking to will actually trust that what you're saying is right. That's why so many people fail at evangelism. You see, we are so quick to move people into the church and towards the baptistry that we forget to build up the relationship first, to gain the trust of the people we're trying to reach first. Now, how can we expect anybody to learn the plan of salvation if we don't have their full attention? How can we lead them to Christ if they won't follow us? How can they follow us if they don't trust us? We got to build up the relationship first so that we can reach the lost. Show the people that you're trustworthy and they will listen to what you have to say. So how do you show people that you're trustworthy? Well, it's actually kind of simple. Basically, what you do is you live like you are the Christian that you claim to be. That you are a person who can be trusted. Don't just talk the talk, but make sure you're walking the walk so that people can see Jesus through the way that you live. And when they see Jesus through the way you live, they will know that you are trustworthy. And if they trust you, then they will follow you to the baptistry. Well, the plan was successful because the disciples and the silent minority, the supporters of Jesus, they worked together and they accomplished the plan that Jesus created. Now he has the donkey and the support of the people. Now it is time to ride into Jerusalem and make his presence known to the rest of the Mediterranean world. So let's read on here, verses 7 through 10. It says, "And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" You see, there was a vocal majority out there that day. The support that they had for Jesus was kind of superficial, though. You see, the crowds, they soon disappeared after the triumphant entry. They were no longer supporting Jesus. See, we don't have to look very far to see that the people following Jesus were not as committed as they appeared to be. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? Everybody followed Jesus after that, and they kept growing in number until Jesus finally had enough. He knew that the people were following for the wrong reasons, so he turned up the heat and told them exactly what they did not want to hear. He told them about the true cost of being a disciple, and that's when they left him. John chapter 6 actually gives us a very good synopsis of what was going on then. And I want to read verses 66 through 68 from John 6. It says, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" You know, that part right there is what we need to use for our motivation too. The reason why we come together. We need to say exactly what Peter said. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The truth rests with Jesus. There is no other way." And we need to also be able to say that we have believed and have come to know that Jesus really is the Holy One of God. That Jesus is God. That should be our motivation for meeting together. Because Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. Well, if disciples were going to follow Jesus, they needed to follow him all the way. As Jesus entered Jerusalem on the donkey, the people remembered the great works of Jesus, so they came around to celebrate his coming. The energy was exciting. Even if you were on the fence about following Jesus, the energy in the crowd was enough to get you up on your feet and cause you to shout. I can imagine that this was probably a first century example of a holy pep rally for Jesus. Here comes the king. Everybody wanted to be a part of that celebration because the energy was so high and exciting. Well, unfortunately, the adrenaline of the moment does not sustain the follower when the crash of reality sets in. The adrenaline of the moment does not sustain the follower when the crash of reality sets in. No matter how great of a moment you have with your emotions, you still need to follow through with the commitment if you expect to be a follower of Jesus. This is why a commitment based on emotions does not work. You have to base your commitment on your convictions if you want to remain loyal to Jesus. You see, a conviction is a firmly held belief that is not swayed because you know the truth. A conviction in a court of law means that a person is guilty beyond all reasonable doubt. Now, if we take that and we use the positive side instead of the negative there, we could say that our conviction is that Jesus is the Christ beyond all reasonable doubt because we believe in the evidence that was presented to us in the Scriptures. We have conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We should have that conviction, and that will lead us to trust Jesus. And when we trust Jesus, we will remain loyal to Him. Remember that our level of commitment is directly related to the level of trust that we have for Jesus. The more we trust Him, the more committed we are to Him. And the more committed we are to Jesus, the better we can follow Him. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to follow Him all the way. See, the vocal majority, they did not follow Jesus beyond the triumphant entry. These shouts of Hosanna turned into cries of crucify Him by the end of the week. Now, there is a debate going on about the fickleness of the people following Jesus. Some scholars actually say that the people shouting Hosanna were not the same people who were crying, crucify Him. Now, they say the followers of Jesus would not have turned on Jesus that quickly. Now, they do present a good argument, but I don't agree 100% with them, and here's why. Now, it is true that in the crowd there were critics, and there were also supporters. There was a mix there of the triumphal entry. But by the end of the week, there was a bigger crowd crying crucify Him than there were critics. They had to have come from somewhere. They must have come from the ones who were supporting Him. Well, along with that, we also need to remember in John chapter 6 and also other places in the gospel, people were quick to turn away from Jesus the minute they found out the true cost of being a disciple of Jesus. So they were not that committed to begin with. See, they were not interested in who Jesus was. They just wanted to benefit from what Jesus was able to do for them. So they were fair weather fans. And since they were fair weather fans, it makes sense that they would turn again after the triumphant entry was over. So why did they quit following Jesus? Well, they found out that Jesus was not who they thought He was. They misunderstood the purpose of the Messiah. And we can actually see that as we look through the four different accounts of the triumphant entry. I'm just going to take a couple of verses out of each account and just listen to this as we check out the motivation these people had for following Jesus. Matthew 21, 10 through 11 says, "And when He entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.'" They thought that Jesus was basically just a prophet. So they followed. Luke 19, 37 says, "As He was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of His disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." So they were following Jesus, the miracle worker, not the Messiah. John 12, 17 through 18, the Apostle John actually does us a favor here and he explains the reason why they were following. He says, "The crowd had been with Him when He called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to bear witness. And the reason why the crowd went to meet Him was that they heard He had done this sign." So they heard about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, so they wanted to meet Him and see for themselves who Jesus was. Now going back to our text today, Mark chapter 11, 9 through 10, it says, "And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And here's the reason why they were following Him. "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." You see, they thought that Jesus came to restore the physical kingdom of David and overthrow the Roman Empire. Well, they quickly found out that was not the reason why Jesus was there. So they turned on Him. They were no longer following Him because they were fair weather fans. See, the people were celebrating Jesus, but they were celebrating for the wrong reasons. That's an important lesson for us today as a church. When we come together to celebrate Jesus, what is our motivation? Why are we here? Are we here to celebrate the great prophet who restored the original purpose for the law? Are we here to celebrate the miracle worker who healed the sick and caused the blind to see and raised Lazarus from the dead? Or are we here because Jesus really is our Messiah, that he is our way to heaven, that he is our salvation? You see, our motivation for following Jesus must go deeper than that vocal majority if we expect to be able to follow Jesus all the way. We cannot settle for being like the vocal majority. We need to be like the faithful few. Take a look at verse 11, Mark chapter 11. It says, "And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he goes to visit the temple. Now, in the midst of all the celebration going on, Jesus had a purpose for being there, and that was to worship in the temple. It was too late to do anything at the temple, so he decided to leave. Now, we can speculate, and that's about as far as we can go, as to what Jesus actually saw in the temple at that point and why he decided to just leave. It was being late. Maybe the worship service was almost over, or maybe he saw something that didn't sit well and he decided to leave. I don't know. The Bible doesn't really say. But what we do know is that when he goes back the next day and the following days, he's not very happy with what he sees. He cleanses the temple. He turns over the tables. He drives the people out because they turned the house of worship into a den of thieves. That's probably another reason why the people turned on him, because they didn't quite understand what was happening. See, Jesus was not going to allow God to be disrespected in his own house. That's an important lesson for us too. We need to ask this question constantly about everything that we're doing. If Jesus was going to come through our doors today, what would he see? Would this place be a house of worship, or is this place a den of thieves? Are we robbing God by placing our worship on something other than him? The Jewish leaders, they wanted to arrest Jesus, but it was not time yet, so Jesus stayed in Bethany at night. He stayed in Bethany because those were where his supporters were. He trusted those people because they would not turn him over to the Jewish leaders. And this was how he made it to the end of the week before allowing Judas to find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Of course, at that point, he knew exactly where Judas was going to look, so he had the option to run away, but it was time. At that point, Jesus had made up his mind. He was ready to go to the cross so that we can be saved. Now let's get back here to verse 11 again. And I want us to notice something here. There at the end of the verse, it says he went out to Bethany with the 12. Nobody else followed him out there, just the 12. You see, all of the people shouting Hosanna, none of them followed him to Bethany, because they were fair weather fans. All of the excitement, everything that was going on, Jesus left with the people that he came with. The holy pep rally for Jesus did nothing for creating loyal followers. You see, they made a lot of noise, the energy was high, it was exciting, but at the end of the day, those who were truly committed to Jesus were the ones who were following him before he made it to Jerusalem. If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to follow him all the way. See, today is the day that we remember the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, known as Palm Sunday. The people were shouting Hosanna, but later that week, the shouts of Hosanna turned into cries of crucify him. They were following Jesus as long as it was convenient for them. But when the time came for their loyalty to be tested, they failed miserably. You know, we claim to be followers of Jesus. We say that we're going to stay loyal to him no matter what happens in our lives. Well, here's my question. When the time comes for your loyalty to be tested, Are you going to pass the test? Will you be able to say, yes, I'm still following Jesus when your loyalty is tested? If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to be willing to follow him all the way to the cross. And if you are, then you can follow Jesus all the way to heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the fact that the way is already made for us, and now we just need to walk through it with you. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to remember that our salvation is what's most important in our lives. That no matter what we're doing here on earth, where we end up for eternity is what really needs to be our focus. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to do everything we can to make sure that others can make it there too. I pray, Lord, you'll be with us through this time of invitation. Help us, Lord, to remember that everything that we do should be for the purpose that you have set for us. I pray, Lord, you'll be with us. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.